Congregation may be seated. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." If you sat down to read Luke's entire story, an exercise that I highly commend to you, you would notice that this is the third visitation of an angel with a message from heaven in Luke's gospel. In fact, the first scene, the opening scene in Luke's gospel, it begins with an angel appearing. The archangel Gabriel appears first to the priest Zechariah. And Gabriel gives news that Zechariah's wife Elizabeth would bear a son named John. And John would be a prophet in the spirit of Elijah. Gabriel then appears a second time in Luke's gospel. This time it's in Nazareth to the Virgin Mary, announcing that she, Mary, will conceive the Son of God by the Holy Spirit. When the scene changes to the fields of Bethlehem, where shepherds keep watch over their flocks in the night hours, we're becoming familiar with angels and their messages. An angel appears to the shepherds in the fields. It's possibly Gabriel again, though Luke doesn't specify for sure. But what we do see is the angelic pattern that began with Zechariah continues with Mary, it continues with the shepherd. The angel says, "Do not fear." There's news from God. And then there's an outward sign to confirm the heavenly message. That's the pattern. Only something changes in this, the third appearance of the Lord's angel. It's a departure from the pattern with Zechariah and Mary. You see, once Gabriel delivered his message to Zechariah and Mary, he departed, went back to heaven. The message delivered, then the chosen servants, Zechariah and Mary, they enter the future with obedience. But after the angel of God announces the birth of Christ the Lord to the shepherds, the angel does not leave. The angel remains. The shepherds had been given great news, and they had been given a great task. You are to find the Christ child in the manger. But the shepherd's task would not come first. They were not to leave the fields and their flocks yet, because there was more. There was more for them to see, more to hear, more for them to witness than just a single angel, just one angel appearing before them. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Even better, I think, is that translation of Luke's passage that reads, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army praising God." Heavenly host, we're so familiar with it. We hear it every night this year, this time of year, this day. Heavenly host. Did you know it's a military word? Actually. Heavenly host. It was a multitude of an army of angels of the Most High God that surrounded the shepherds that night. And Luke seems to suggest that only some regiments of God's heavenly army appeared before the shepherds' eyes that night. Not the full number. There were even more angels that our shepherds could not see. And remember, we often miss this, what Luke says about the glory of the first angel. The glory of that first angel surrounded the shepherds, surrounded them. Now, I suppose you're like me. I've always envisioned the angel and that heavenly army aloft in the sky, and perhaps it was so. But Luke actually doesn't specify. They may have appeared as angels on the ground in a more lateral direction. Either way,
what Luke wants us to see is, and know, is that the glory of the Lord surrounded the shepherds. Now, if you heard someone say, "We have you surrounded," you would not feel at ease, right? But when the angel and the army of heaven surrounded the shepherds, they were surrounded by the glory of God. That which surrounded the Most High God in heaven now surrounded the shepherds on earth. And not only the glory of God, but it was the peace of God that surrounded them. God sent his heavenly army in the fields of Bethlehem, not to wage war, but to wage peace. It was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, "Speak tenderly now to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended." The army of heaven came as an army of worship to praise God, to announce peace on earth, to declare a peace that this world cannot give, to announce a peace that passes all understanding, to announce a peace that guards the hearts and minds of the saints from all adversaries, a peace that would lead our beloved shepherds to a manger where the Prince of Peace had been born. Oh, before the angels appeared, there was much talk of peace, to be sure. Popular topic in that time. Peace was a favorite topic in these years. The Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Who hadn't heard about the promise of Roman peace? Those who lived, like our shepherds, in a subjugated province of Caesar's empire. In a few decades prior to Christ's birth, the Roman poet Virgil, he heralded the majesty of the Pax Romana to his countrymen. "Remember, Romans, your arts shall be," he said, "to rule the nations as their masters, to establish the law of peace, to show clemency to the conquered, and to conquer the proud." Peace, you see, in Rome, comes to all who submit to Caesar, to all who praise the glory of Rome. And for those who would rebel against Caesar, "We will keep peace by condemning all enemies of Caesar and his empire to death, death on a Roman cross." The Pax Romana, the promise of peace that this world gives. Now compare that promise of peace with the annunciation of peace in Bethlehem fields. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Compare the Savior the angels announced, that it was good news, not just for the elite, not just for Romans, it was good news for all people. Compare that with a Caesar who lived to dominate and subjugate all peoples. Compare that image of a leader with the world's true Savior given to us. You will find our Savior in swaddling cloths. He's lying in a feeding trough. Put not your trust in the rulers of this world, whether of ancient days or the present day, to bring you peace. The rulers of our world have too long sought their personal glory. You see, what happened this night more than 2,000 years ago forever changed our definition of what glory is and what peace is. The glory of God is a Savior who would humble himself to take our human nature upon himself so that we, made in his image, might be joined again to his divine nature. Christ did not take his divine nature from eternity and then turn it into flesh. The only begotten Son of the Father took on a body, our human nature, so that he could raise it up and unite it with his divine nature. That is why, my brother and sister, the army of angels appeared before shepherds to glorify God and to sing peace on earth. Angels were the heralds to shepherds.
and shepherds became heralds for all in Bethlehem. And have you wondered, why them? Why shepherds? Because all God always reveals his glory to and through the humble and the meek of the earth. When the angel Gabriel first visited Zechariah in Luke's gospel, Zechariah sang of God's ancient promise that in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Shepherds have always been God's chosen servants. These shepherds most likely tended the very same Bethlehem fields David would have tended 1,000 years prior. When the Lord called David, remember, he was the least of Jesse's sons. Not the most impressive, but the least one. Because God wanted a shepherd king to be over his people, Israel. And tonight, the shepherds of Bethlehem, they guide our feet into the way of peace. They lead from their fields to the manger of Jesus, who is the greatest of Jesse's sons and yet the humblest of Jesse's line. The glory that appeared with an angelic army, it leads them to the glory of this Christ child who was born for us in poverty and in humility. And my brothers and sisters, how we need to remember as we worship here in the United States tonight, even in our Christmas celebration, that Bethlehem in 2023 does not celebrate the birth of Christ in peacetime. Lord, have mercy. In the land where our Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was born, there is warfare, there is profound human suffering. And just as an army of angels appeared before shepherds to wage peace on earth, so the church, the saints of God, must become an army of intercessors, praying for all warfare to cease, praying for peace that only Christ can give. Our hope is not in politics, whether it be ancient or modern, whether it be the Pax Romana or any other political solution. In this manger we come to tonight, in this manger is our peace. He is our peace. There is no real, lasting, or eternal peace without him. The peace of Christ, it's not just a cessation. It's not a negation. It's not an absence of something. His peace and his glory, they go together. Remember our beginnings from Genesis. We were made for glory and in glory. Not to glorify ourselves, but to always be perfectly reconciled with God, with one another, and within ourselves, to glorify him who made us. And not since Adam and Eve had human bodies, had human beings lived in bodies that were fully reconciled with God. Not since our ancestral parents have human beings been fully reconciled between themselves and within themselves, where the spirit orders the soul, where the soul orders the body to worship and adore God, their creator. That was the glory of God in the first creation, before the fall. And that glory was also the peace of God in the first creation. See, all that has divided nation from nation, all that has separated us from one another, and all that has divided us within ourselves from ourselves, tonight is reconciled through the incarnation of the Son of God. Because on this night, unto us a child is born, a son is given to give us peace that we have lost and that we cannot regain ourselves. All of our attempts to regain glory, it just becomes corrupted by ego or vanity or pride. All of our attempts to regain peace, they don't bring the lasting joy for which we hunger. Glory returns when we kneel in adoration, when we humble ourselves and offer praise to King Jesus. Peace returns when we invite him not just once when we're converted, but again and again to take up residence in our hearts, to join our human nature with his divine nature. The army of angels appeared to the shepherds so that we might become an army of saints. Saints who worship and adore Christ the Lord. Saints who intercede for the peace of all the world and the nations. Saints who receive the free gift of his peace themselves. Saints who find their greatest joy kneeling and glorifying God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.